From Colorado Public Radio, this is Colorado Matters. I'm Ryan Warner. Every time you get an email or upload a photo to the internet, that digital information is stored in a place called a data center. These are large buildings that house many powerful computers. And more often, these centers are being built in Colorado Springs. Walmart's is the latest. The world's largest retailer will break ground on its big new facility in the Springs next month. But this growing industry comes with a few major caveats: few jobs and sky-high electricity use. CPR's Zachary Barr reports.
If you were a computer, you'd be happy living at FedEx's new data center. For one, you'd never be ignored. FedEx cannot do business without you. The rows and rows of servers in this room store critical information, like customer names, software, and those FedEx tracking numbers.
Each package, you have 10, 15 transactions for every package.
That's Sally Wiggins talking over the never-ending fan noise. She runs this facility.
So you have a pickup, you have a delivery, but in between that point, you have different stations that may pick that up. You have a different ramp that's going to scan that package. So every one of those transactions gets recorded.
And all that data are stored on this equipment. Wiggins says even a one-minute interruption in service would cost the company millions. So FedEx doesn't mess around. There are multiple security checkpoints to get into this room, and dust is not welcome.
Can't have dust. Dust impacts the effectiveness of how the machines run.
So the room is kept sparkling clean. These computers run nonstop, emitting a lot of heat. To keep them in tip-top shape, cool air has to be pumped in.
This cold aisle is where the air comes up at a certain temperature, and it cools this equipment that's in here.
While this building cost well over $100 million to build, just a few dozen people work here. It mostly runs itself, but not without a lot of electricity. Once this facility is operating at full capacity, FedEx's energy bill will be more than $250,000 a month. Perhaps more surprising, FedEx is getting a bargain, according to John Boyd Jr.
I mean, you're going to pay almost double that to being in the tri-state area, suburban New York City or Connecticut.
Boyd works as a data center location consultant. He says Colorado Springs' lack of natural disasters, its tech-savvy workforce, and low taxes make it a top 10 location. But the biggest factor? It's that low-cost electricity.
Colorado's major competition, a lot of it comes from the Pacific Northwest, areas like Central Washington that has hydroelectric power. That's where Microsoft and Yahoo and Intuit have major data center operations.
Colorado Springs Electricity is a good deal because the city owns its utility, the power plants, and the distribution network. City officials say that keeps prices low. Another reason? Those long freight trains of coal coming in from Wyoming. Most of the city's power comes from burning coal. Elena Nunez is Colorado Springs Utility's business market manager. She says after nailing down the price, prospective data centers want to be certain that the electricity will always be on.
The questions generally evolve around capacity. Do you have enough energy for us?
Companies like Verizon, HP, and Progressive have asked this question. And each time the answer is yes. The utility can simply burn more coal. And that's what Janard Smith doesn't like about data centers. She's the chair of the Pikes Peak Sierra Club.
Well, the problem is greenhouse gases and, of course, the relationship to climate change, but it also has an impact on the health of our community and coal-fired power plants are asthma producers. They produce a lot of toxic chemicals, mercury, et cetera, that we simply just don't want in our environment.
Colorado Springs utilities generate almost no electricity from wind or solar. Janard Smith has been lobbying to change that, with some success. The utility says it's closing in on its first significant purchase of wind power.
I think it's terrific, and it's about time. They've made a couple of stabs at it in the past, and I think this is the first time that we're actually going to see some movement on that.
While this new wind power won't come online for a few years, FedEx says it's doing its part now. Kurt Eckert is the building's engineer. He's on the roof.
This is one of the most energy efficient data centers. Because of the climate, we can do what is called free cooling.
Free cooling essentially opens a window to Colorado's cool and dry climate and that outside air is used to lower the temperature inside.
And so it saves all the energy that we would use in a chiller.
This energy-saving innovation intrigued Walmart. Its employees were recently on this same roof checking it out, and apparently they liked what they saw. A short time later, the world's largest retailer announced it's going to build its new corporate data center in Colorado Springs, too. Construction starts next month. And city officials say the welcome mat is still out for more data centers. Zachary Barr, Colorado Public Radio News.
Well, as Zach just told us, data centers make modern life possible. You can think of them as the backbone of the internet. And they require tremendous amounts of power. Data centers are responsible for about 1.3% of the world's electricity use. That's according to Jonathan Kumi, a consulting professor at Stanford University. Since 2005, he's been studying the power demands of IT. Kumi says you've got to put that energy use into perspective, though, because it may help to save energy elsewhere.
We looked at the environmental impacts of downloading music versus buying music on a CD. And what we found was that even in the best case for CDs and the worst case for digital downloads, you're still looking at about a 40% reduction in greenhouse gas emissions for downloading music versus buying it on a CD. And that's because you have to manufacture the CD and then you have to transport the CD. And of course, when you drive to the store, that also gets counted.
Your point is, you can look at the fact that data centers use about 1.3% of global electricity, and you can have your reaction to that. You might balk at that, but you have to look at what it's replacing. I'm even thinking of something as basic as like printing out vast numbers of sheets of paper versus just reading something off of my screen, information which might be housed at a data center.
Yeah, so I do think you need to take into account the context of what's being done with that electricity. And of course, you know, by all means, data centers should be a whole lot more efficient. And there's a lot of opportunities in standard data centers to improve that efficiency. But many companies are now making those changes very rapidly because they realize there's a lot of money to be saved.
Now, in Zach's piece, we heard one example of an energy efficiency measure, which was free cooling, essentially opening like a panel on the roof to allow cool air in. What are other examples of things that data centers could be doing?
So using outside air is a very effective thing, but also using more efficient fans, using controls on those fans that allow you to vary the speed of that airflow. You also have, for data centers that are already built, you can look at how the air is flowing in those facilities and figure out where there might be air being wasted or air that's not going to the right places. And you see in real facilities all sorts of strange things, like people designed the facility to have perforated tiles in the floor so air would be coming up, but for some reason the people building the facility didn't put in the little perforated tiles, and so the airflow is not what was originally designed. And there's a lot of examples like that that can be easily fixed.
Now, the figures that we cited, 1.3% of global electricity, that was a snapshot from 2010. Is that number expected to rise?
I think we can expect it to rise, but it's not rising as rapidly as it was from 2000 to 2005. And we saw from 2000 to 2005 that it roughly doubled for both the U.S. and for the world. And that's pretty rapid growth. What I found in this more recent study is that there was only about a 56% growth from 2005 to 2010.
Is that because there were fewer data centers being added, or they just got a whole lot more efficient?
It's a combination.
Help me understand why data centers locate in the U.S. at all. I'm just thinking of so many other industries where it's cheaper to do business abroad. It's cheaper to make something in China. Why would there be loyalty to the United States just on an economic front?
Well, the U.S. is, of course, a very large market, so that's one reason. Another is that these facilities are typically mostly automated, and so in many businesses, the largest expense is labor. For this kind of facility, there's obviously labor to build them and some labor to operate them, but because the facilities are strongly automated and also because they require a level of technical sophistication that not all countries have, it's still not only beneficial but profitable, strongly profitable for companies to build data centers in the U.S. There's also reasons, there's a technical term called latency, which means that if you're a financial institution and you want to have a data center that is kind of a duplicate of the one you're running in case the one you're running goes down, this other one needs to be able to kick in instantly. And even seconds of lost facility time means, you know, hundreds of thousands or millions of dollars lost for these companies. So in order to have that facility running as kind of a mirror of what your main facility is doing, it needs to be within a certain distance. The speed of light is very fast, but it's not quite fast enough. And typically, these kind of mirror data centers have to be within 20 or 30 miles of the other facility that you're backing up.
So I see. So in this way, location actually does make a difference. Because I'm thinking in the world of telecommuting, it doesn't matter where you site a data center, but it actually does.
It actually does in many cases. And even for Google, you know, they think about shaving milliseconds off of the time it takes for them to give you back your search result. So when you're talking about milliseconds, it does actually matter if the data center is in, you know, Norway or India versus in the U.S. And that, you know, the more searches they can do, the more money they make. And so, you know, at the end of the day, if milliseconds matter, there are many cases where you actually need to have the facilities located in the U.S.
Do you foresee a lot more of these data centers coming online in the next few years?
Well, the important thing to remember about data centers is that the value of the services they deliver is so much higher than the cost that they actually are very profitable for companies to build and use. And so I would expect to see more data centers coming in, but also to see vast improvements in the efficiency of these facilities. So right now, you see there are two basic kinds of data centers. There's what I call in-house data centers, computing facilities for companies whose primary business is not computing.
So Walmart, FedEx.
Exactly. And then there are what we call the cloud computing providers, so Microsoft, Google, Amazon, Facebook. These companies, they deliver computing services for the most part. And what that means is that they have been able to devote more resources to making their facilities vastly more efficient. So I'm expecting that those kinds of facilities will become more common and they'll start to displace the computing in these in-house data centers in many cases.
Well, this is a fundamental change in our economy, isn't it? That the data we need, data we have access to, isn't in a file cabinet down the hall, but is in some location that might be close or might be far away. Anything to say about that, just that like larger shift?
Well, it is a big shift. And what's happening, of course, is that not only is the data being stored at a faraway location, it's being stored in multiple locations. And it's also in a form that will allow you to easily search it and allow others, if it's public data, to easily search it. And so that is a fundamental change in the way we as a society access information. And I think that means that we'll be hopefully faster at learning and being able to, you know, learn new things from our existing data more rapidly because we can now access it electronically.
Jonathan, thank you so much for being with us.
My pleasure.
Jonathan Kumi is consulting professor in the Civil and Environmental Engineering Department at Stanford University.